Spirit. The acts of the Holy Spirit. Discovering the Holy Spirit through the book of Acts. Through the book of Acts. It starts with Luke writing in the book of Acts saying, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Both to do and teach. And then the verse 2, he goes ahead. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, has given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, who to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." 40 days. Don't get it twisted anywhere. And don't allow anyone lie to you. Jesus was real. When he died and he resurrected, he didn't just disappear and nobody knew. For 40 days, there was regular encounter with Jesus. And it is recorded throughout the Bible. It is recorded throughout the Bible that this guy resurrected from dead. He died. They hanged him on the cross. They took him from the cross. They buried him. And he came back. And for 40 days, this man was walking on the face of earth. And he gave instructions to his disciples. But I like the way he ends it in the verse 3. He says, pertaining to the kingdom of God. Pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus came to establish the kingdom on this earth. He came to make sure that he came to pave the path. There was a need, somebody to come and to teach the way, to guide the way, and to lay it straight with human beings, how the kingdom manifests, how the things of the kingdom of God operates, how the kingdom of God exists. And for years, God started with apostles, God started with prophets, God started with other people, and it wasn't going according to plan. They all were people who had their shortcomings. And so eventually, the Prince of Heaven himself had to come to this earth to establish the kingdom. And when he came, he says, the kingdom of God is as that. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. He taught and he taught and he taught on the kingdom of God. And now Jesus has died, he has resurrected. And he's leaving this earth and he gives specific instructions to his disciples. We thank God so much for the book of Acts. Because had we not gotten the book of Acts, the Bible would have been so boring. The Bible would have been so boring. We wouldn't have understood the things of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have understood life. We wouldn't have seen God in operation and advancing a whole movement of people like he did in the book of Acts without Luke committing to recording these things. And it helps us as children of God to have a good understanding and a clear view of how God moves amongst his people. And so he starts. You see, if I want to go, look, the book of Acts is a very book, big book. And if I say I'm going to be talking too much, we will spend, this book can be studied for a whole year. We're going to take our time. We're going to be handling certain things in this book. Please trust me. It is not my desire to be milking it in when it doesn't need to be milking. I don't want to be wasting anybody's time here. But I want us to take our time to study on the things that are important to God and how we can live our lives as children of God. Because you know what? We are saying that we are rebuilding. We have seen us going back in Nehemiah how to really get ourselves put together and ready for God to build us up, to use us to be a blessing in our community. Now, the book of Acts actually teaches us how to be useful. The book of Acts exposes us and teaches us someone, introduces us to somebody that will help us to actually be able to go into our community and be a blessing. Without this person that is introduced in the book of Acts, children of God cannot become the children of God they are supposed to be. Jesus himself depended on this person. And we have to learn to depend on him too. The book of Acts helps us. And so I go back to the first verse. The former account, I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach. Please bear with me. You know I love to preach, and today I'm going to try and stay very close to my notes here, because in the beginning it's a bit boring. I'm going to handle a few things that needs to be handled, and then we will get into the meaty part, the interesting part that you are waiting to hear. But every part of this book is a blessing. The former account I made. The former account is the Gospel of Luke. At one time, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts were joined together as one book with two volumes. One book with two volumes. That expansion from Jerusalem to Rome is a remarkable story. We see that from Jerusalem, right from when the apostles started their ministry from Jerusalem, the gospel spread all the way to Rome, and it is a remarkable story. Humanly speaking, Christians had nothing going for it. Christianity had nothing going for it. It had no money, no proven leaders, no technology tools for propagating the gospel, and it faced enormous obstacles. It was utterly new. It taught truths that were incredible to the unregenerated world. It was the subject to the most intense hatreds and persecutors. Acts is written in the literal style of the Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint. Since Luke can write in a different style, when you read Luke 1-4, this is something deliberated. Probably he regarded himself as recording sacred history. We really don't know all that much about Luke from the New Testament. A few things we know about Luke are that he was a physician. When you read Colossians 4:14, we also know that he was a Gentile. His name is a Gentile name. We also know that he was a devoted companion of Paul. We see this in Acts. We see this in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Philemon 24, and 2 Timothy 4:11. There was a time when many scholars and critics thought that Acts was sort of a romance novel of the early church, written more than 100 years after the events supposed happened. But William, you know, sometimes we have to thank God for the people that God raises. William Ramsey, a noted archaeologist and Bible scholar, proved that the historical records of Acts is remarkably accurate, recording the specific practices, laws, and customs of the period it claims to record. It is definitely the work of contemporary eyewitness. We thank God for archaeologists. Some would have looked at the book of Acts and undermined it, but people devoted themselves to research and have now proven that the book of Acts is actually accurate. It is not some fictional something that was written. It is true. Everything that happened in there happened. Dr. Martin Lloyd says, a kind of vast treasure the book of Acts is. John Calvin wrote that the book of Acts was a vast treasure also. Many New Testament theologians believe that had it not been the book of Acts, we would not have had a good understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates. And so it is important for the church to come back to the place of taking time to study on the book of Acts. Because in this modern day that we are living in, the talk of the Holy Spirit is almost not mentioned at all. Every Christian talks about themselves. Every Christian does what they want to do. Every Christian wants to do what, and the Holy Spirit is not emphasized, he's not talked about, he's not mentioned, he's not even mentioned with importance. The children of God today, most Christians don't actually understand that we need the Holy Spirit. We can't actually be the Christians we have to be without the Holy Spirit. And so in this modern day, it is even more important to look at the world we live in today. There is all forms of religions. There is all forms of ideologies. There is all forms of teachings. There is all forms of challenges that faces the Christian church today. And that if we do not get to the place of really looking at the Holy Spirit, realizing who he is, accepting who he is, and yielding to him to help us, the church will become the powerless church that it is even now. But that is not God's intent. That is not God's intent. Children of God, I want to encourage you, when you go home from today, start digging into the book of Acts. Start studying on the book of Acts. Start asking God to open your eyes to see the Holy Spirit at work through the book. And you will find yourself being drawn closer to God more than ever before. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you continue reading the book, he mentions the name of Theophilus. He says, oh, Theophilus. So who is Theophilus? This man might have been a Christian wanting instruction. He might have been a Roman official being briefed by Luke about the history of the Christian movement. Or the name could be symbolic because the name Theophilus means God lover. Awesome. If I found this name earlier, I would have named my second son Theophilus, God lover. Theo, God lover. Theo, God lover. And today, we need God lovers in this world. How many of us know that we need to love God more than ever before? There are so many challenges facing us today. And they that do not know their Lord, they cannot do exploits. But for the word of God says, they that know their Lord, they shall do exploits. I need to fall in love with this. Theophilus. In the introduction to the first volume, Luke chapter 1, verse 3, Luke addresses Theophilus with title Most Excellent, Most Excellent, which was a way to address people who held higher offices. Since Acts ends with Paul awaiting trial before Caesar, some have wondered if Luke to Acts are not defense briefs on Paul's behalf to give a Roman official background on Paul's case. Luke arrived in Jerusalem with Paul in Acts 21, verse 19. He left with him again on the journey to Rome in Acts 27:1. In those 2 years, Luke had plenty of time to research and write his gospel and the book of Acts. Luke wanted to show Theophilus and the Romans that Christianity is harmless. How many of you have actually come across this? People think we Christians are the problems in this world. We are the trouble. We are the problem makers. We are the ones causing issues and problems for this world. No. Christianity is harmless. Some Roman officials had embraced it themselves. Luke also wanted to point out that Christianity is innocent. How many of us know that Christianity is innocent? We Christians are the most innocent people in this world, but the most attacked people. The most attacked people. Roman judges could find no basis for prosecution. They didn't find basis according to their law for prosecuting Jesus. They couldn't find basis for accusing all the disciples, but yet still they were persecuted. Christianity is harmless. That Christianity is innocent. The Christianity is lawful. Christianity is lawful as the true fulfillment of Judaism, which was an approved religion in the Roman Empire. So he continues and he says, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Notice that the former account concerned all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Luke's gospel describes only the beginning of Jesus' work. Acts describes its continuation, and the work of Jesus continues to our present days. Jesus has not finished his work. He has gone to heaven, seated on the right hand side of the Father, but he says, behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus has not finished. He says he's making intercession on our behalf. Jesus is working on our behalf every day. We must remember that Acts does not give us a full history of the church during this period. For example, the church in Galilee and Samaria are barely mentioned. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. And the establishment of a strong church in Egypt during this time isn't mentioned at all. Acts does not cover everything that God did in the church, the expansion of the church. Acts does not cover all. Acts spans a period of about 30 years and takes us up to about AD 60 or AD 61. With Paul in Rome waiting to appear before Caesar Nero. This same Nero began his infamous persecution of Christians in AD 64. Wonderfully, what Jesus began still continues. There is a real sense in which the book of Acts continues to be written today. Not in an authoritative scriptural sense, but in the sense of God's continued work in the world by his Spirit through the church. God is now at work in the world by his Spirit through the church. So we are now the movement that God is building up. The Holy Spirit is seeking to use us to advance the kingdom of God. The Acts of the Apostles should therefore be studied mainly for this double purpose. The first one, to trace our Lord's unseen but actual continuation of his divine teaching and work. And secondly, to trace the active ministry of the Holy Spirit as the abiding presence in the church. The abiding presence of God in the church. The Acts of the book of Acts shows us God being present in the church among us and how he can use us. Children of God, this should make us marvel and be excited. This should encourage us. This should empower us. This should allow us to really open up and start looking forward to what God will do in our life. I told you, today is going to be boring in terms of opening up this. I don't want to continue because the next part from verse 2 to 3, if I start, we won't go home. Let me read it to you. I'm going into the last work of Jesus before his ascension to heaven. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Until the day in which he was taken up. Jesus dies, he resurrected. But until Jesus was taken up, this is what he said. After he, through the Holy Spirit, you would think that Jesus, at this point, he is the glorified Jesus. He is the highly exalted Jesus. At the mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. You would think that this Jesus would have just decided to tell the disciples, walk in my name, do everything in my name, and it is okay. But yet still, he yielded to the Holy Spirit. The writing says that him, through the Holy Spirit, him, through even the glorified Jesus, still depended on the Holy Spirit. See it this way. This was Jesus on the earth coming to pave the pride, coming to pave the way, living a life of purity and all those things. We know that the Holy Spirit came upon him, and through the Holy Spirit, he was able to be the person that he was. Now he has died. He has resurrected. God had honored him. God had given him all the titles you can imagine. And yet still, Jesus is still operating by the Holy Spirit. Children of God, we need the Holy Spirit today. We need the Holy Spirit. You think you need a man? You think you need a friend? You think you need an encourager? You think you need a companion? I am here to introduce the greatest companion whom you can ever have in your life. The most needed one. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He has a personality. He has a presence. And he can relate with you like you've been yearning for a human being in your life. And I'm telling you, this journey that we are going to go on, I tell you, it's going to baffle you. It's going to shoot you. And the Holy Ghost is going to do awesome things. Some of you are going to start seeing things you didn't want to see. And you might be saying, Holy Spirit, it's enough. It's enough. But I'm going to end it here. Because if I don't, some of us, the food that is waiting for us might be... somebody will sue me today. We need to close. And from next week, we will continue. Yeah? Start studying the book of Acts. We're going to study more on the Holy Spirit. We're going to know how God works, how